Welcome to Parshas HaShavua. This week's Parsha is Parshas Toldos. It's really all about Yitzchak, but the Torah begins the Parsha with Ve'ele Toldos Yitzchak ben Avraham. This is the generation, these are the children of Yitzchak, the son of Avraham. Avraham Hoyler is Yitzchak. Avraham gave birth to Yitzchak. And of course we have the famous Rashi. The Torah says this is the children of Yitzchak, the son of Avraham. Why does the Torah have to repeat that Avraham gave birth to Yitzchak? And he goes on to talk about the famous idea that there was rumors going around that Sarah became pregnant, not from Avraham Avinu, but in fact that Yitzchak was the son of Avimelech, who had wanted to live with her, and so on. So therefore, God made a miracle, it says. What did Hashem do? He made Yitzchak look like, just to look exactly like Avraham. So everyone would know that he is Avraham's son. So the question on that is, why is it such a big deal? I mean, many, many people look like their fathers. I mean, one could say the idea was to make sure he didn't look like his mother, but he looked like his father. But it's not such a miracle, it's not such a big deal. Like the way Rashi says it is, Me osa kodesh baruch hu, what did Hashem do? In other words, as if Hashem did a very special thing. One of the answers that's given is that in fact, in this time it was a very special thing, because we know that often the character, the personality, the inner traits of a person are reflected on the features of their face. Sometimes you look at someone, you can see he looks like a refined, a kind, compassionate person. The other one looks like a tough person, a more strong person, and so on. Now we know that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov represented the three primary emotions, the three primary traits that we have, Chesed, Gevurah, and Tiferes. Avraham Avinu was Chesed, and Yitzchak was Gevurah. And this manifests itself in many, many ways. For example, we see that Avraham Avinu traveled. He went to people. The way he reached out to publicize the name of Hashem to other people is that he traveled. So he traveled all over and he encountered people, he engaged with people, and he taught them monotheism, and he brought them close to Hashem, whereas Yitzchak never traveled. In fact, he wasn't allowed to travel after the Akedah. He had to be in Eretz Yisrael. He stayed in one place. People kept him. That's very much a difference between Chesed and Gevurah. Chesed means I connect. Gevurah means I hold back. People came to him, but he held back. In serving Hashem, we have the idea of love of Hashem and fear of Hashem, more love, more discipline. They're both important, both can be holy, but different. So Avraham Avinu was Chesed, Yitzchak was Gevurah, and therefore by nature, they actually should have looked very different. Because Chesed has one expression, Gevurah is another expression, but what did Hashem do over here? There's something unique, that although really they should have looked different because they had totally different personalities and ways of serving Hashem, nevertheless, Hashem made Yitzchak look like Avraham. So everyone should know that Avraham gave birth to Yitzchak. Now the parasha continues and it tells us that Yitzchak was 40 years old when he married Rivka, and they didn't have children. And then eventually, by Yetar Yitzchak davened to Hashem across from his wife. They each stood in one corner, and they davened to Hashem, and Hashem answered his prayers. And Rivka became pregnant, and as we learn later, was pregnant with twins, although she didn't know that at the beginning. And we have the famous thing, Vayisroitzetzu habonim bekirba. The children struggled within her, and she said, if that's the case, what do I need this for? And she went to ask Hashem, she went to the yeshiva, she went to the Beis HaMedrash of Shem Ve'Eivra to find out what is happening. And of course, Rashi tells us the famous idea, that she couldn't understand what was going on because there was a lot of struggling going on within her. And when she would go past a shul or a yeshiva, the shiva Shem Ve'Ever, Yaakov wanted to come out. When she went past a place of idol worship, Esav wanted to come out. So she couldn't understand what's going on here, so she went to seek advice. Just on that, there's an interesting little note from Reb Chaim Brisker, who said, we understand why Esav wanted to come out, because he wanted to serve Avodah Zarah. But why did Yaakov want to come out? We know the famous Chazal that tells us that when a baby, before they're born, they have a malach that comes to teach them Torah, they learn the entire Torah, and it's really beautiful. So one would imagine that Yaakov would have been very comfortable. If Yaakov's disposition was to Torah and to Hashem, he was in the womb, he had a malach, he had the best Rebbe, he had the best teacher, and they were learning. So what did he have to come out for? Why was he running to come out? Why was he struggling to get out? And of course, said Reb Chaim Brisker, we know this is the importance of a chavrusa, of a good learning companion. It was beautiful. He had an unbelievable teacher. It was like a malach, an angel. But the learning companion was problematic. Esau was problematic, and you can't be in that environment. Even if you have a good teacher, you need to be in a positive environment, and therefore he wanted to come out as well in order to learn Torah in a proper environment. Okay. So, what was the response? Sorry, before we just before we go a little bit further, just an idea. What was actually bothering Rivka? What was the real problem? One of the ideas that I want to heard is to understand the following. The worst thing that a person can experience, she understood that she was pregnant with one person. Now we have, you know, some people that are more pious, some people less pious. Some do good things, some do bad things. But there's one thing that in a way is even worse than everything else. If a person can't make up their mind who they are, ambivalence. Sometimes if a person has clarity, you can then talk to them, you can engage with them, you can explain what they need to do, you can explain how they can come away from where they are to go to something else. But if someone is completely confused, that in a way is harder to deal with. Rivka thinking she had one baby in there, but this baby doesn't know what it wants. When they go past a shul, he wants a shul. When it goes past the Avodah Zarah, the one Avodah Zarah. Is it because they're very influenced by the environment? Is it because they're wishy-washy? What is it? They're very confused. That's bothering her and troubling her. So she went to seek advice, and the response was, now that she has twins. She has twins, she calmed down, even though one of the twins wanted to go to Avodah Zarah. But nevertheless, at least there's an identity, at least there's a strength. You can work with that. You can change that. You can channel that. Just an idea in this whole episode. What's the response? It says, "Vayomer Hashem lo," God's message to her was, "Shnei goyim bevitnech." There are two nations in your womb, essentially the Jewish nation and the Edomite nation. But Rashi points out that the word goyim is spelt without a vav, and could be read as geim, like prominent people. It says Rashi, "Elu Antoninus veRebbe." This refers to Antoninus and Rebbe. Rebbe means Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. It's a very interesting comment. This. It refers to the time of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the great Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the author and codifier of the Mishnah. He lived under Roman rule. And at the time, he lived in Israel. And at the time, the Roman leader that was sent by the Romans to be there in Israel was a fellow by the name of Antoninus, who actually became very close to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. They were both very wealthy. They both lacked for nothing, as Rashi points out. And they were very, very close. The one, of course, came from Yaakov. He was Jewish. The other one, the Roman, came from Esav. So that's what the Hashem is telling you. Shnei goyim vitnech. There are two nations in your womb, and not just two nations, two very prominent people. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was one of the greatest tzaddikim, and his colleague Antoninus, who was a Roman. Now the obvious question is: this is a very strange comment. What is that supposed to calm her down for? What's the idea? So I saw an interesting explanation from Rabbi Shlomo Kluger, a great commentator, and he said like this. Last week's parsha, we learned that Avraham Avinu sent Eliezer to find a wife for Yitzchak, specifically from Avraham's family. Why? Because Avraham saw with the Ruach HaKodesh, with a divine inspiration, that if Yitzchak will marry someone from Rivka, from Yitzchak's family, like Rivka in other words, they will have proper children, good children, children that will bring holiness. Rivka was also aware of this. So what happens? What happens is that she becomes pregnant and she realizes, no. This is a different explanation of what we said before, but she realizes, no, there's one baby in there that's Kedusha, that's holiness, and there's one that's obviously not so holy. And in fact, as the Medrash says, that Yaakov, who was holy, came from that's because of Yitzchak's influence. And Esav came because of Rivka, who came from Rivka herself was a tzaddikah, she was a righteous woman, but she came from an environment that was very negative. So Rivka walks by the place of idol worship, and Esav wants to come out. So she says, "Im kein lama ze anochi? What do I need this for? What do they need the whole thing to bring me from Haran to marry Yitzchak? I thought it was to give birth to holiness. But it looks like it's not happening, it's not working." So the message comes back, "Shnei goyim bevitnech," there will be two prominent people coming from you. One is Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was Rebbe, the symbol of holiness, the symbol of Jewishness, symbol of piety. But, says Hashem, there's also holiness in the other side. For example, one of the prominent people is going to descend from you is Edom, is Antoninus. Antoninus, the Roman general, became really close with Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. And in fact, that at the end, the story with Antoninus is he became so close with Rabbi that secretly he converted, he circumcised himself, and he gave birth to great people and to greatness. And there were many Midrashim, and there's many things about people who came from Esav, who actually converted and became great tzaddikim, and they had great children, and so on and so forth. Showing us that there's hidden Kedusha in the world of Esav as well. And that's what she was trying to tell Rivka. And Rivka calmed down with that because she knew that either way, because there's two kinds of holiness. There's natural holiness, and then there's holiness that needs to be transformed and channeled and extracted from the world of unholiness. And that was Rivka giving birth to the two types of holiness. The natural holiness and the holiness that needs to be achieved with hard work and rescued and identified even within darkness and within challenge. Just want to point out a very fascinating comment that the Das Keni Balatoisus, one of the Rishonim, one of the commentators, says, the Torah says when they born, Yaakov was born, and of course he was holding on to the heel of Esav, as we know. But Esav came out first. Esav was the firstborn, and says Vayetze Harishon Admoini. He came out and he was very red. Yitzchak thought, and this is what he did. He says, based on a medrash, I guess, a very fascinating idea. Because we know that when Yishmael was born, he had a bris. When Yishmael had a bris when he was 13. When Yitzchak was born, Avraham Avinu circumcised him right away, because that was after the mitzvah of bris. And we assume that Yitzchak obviously circumcised Yaakov. What happened to Esav? Was he circumcised? Says the Askeim Baal Tosfos, what happened was like this, that when he was born, Esav was born, he was red. And Yitzchak thought that it's like a disease that's mentioned in the Gemara, that the blood hasn't been properly absorbed in the limbs. And therefore he thought and it could be dangerous to circumcise, as the Gemara details in the Gemara Shabbos. So he thought he'd leave it a little bit and he would see what happens. After a year or two, and he saw that this is the same thing, it's still there. He says, you know what? He still didn't circumcise him, and he said, I'm not going to circumcise him now, I'm going to wait until he's 13. And then lucky Shmuel, my brother, Yitzchak's brother, I'll make sure he has a bris then. And then says Das Keni Baal Tosfos that when he was 13, he refused. He resisted and didn't want to have a bris. And therefore, in fact, part of Esau's cruelty, part of Esau's power against the Jewish people came from the fact that he didn't actually have a bris, even though he was from the descendants of Avraham Avinu and he was the son of Yitzchak. Just an interesting comment that I thought I would share with you. We know this is also the parsha of the brachas, when Yaakov receives the brachas from Esav, and in Mitzvah, we also need, on a time that we have need of great brachas, and it should take place very, very soon. Have a good Shabbos, a good day, and only good news.